The Philippine Justice Secretary alleges conspiracy in the sudden recantations of suspects in the killing of Negros Oriental Governor Roel Degamo. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, takes effect in the Philippines. The United States averts its first ever default as senators send the debt ceiling deal to President Joe Biden's desk. And the Denver Nuggets dominate the Miami Heat to take Game 1 of the NBA Finals. I'm Denise Dinsai. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For those of you watching us on YouTube and Facebook, glad you could join us. Philippine Justice Secretary Jesus Crispin Remulla floating a possible conspiracy among the 10 suspects in the killing of Negros Oriental Governor Roel Degamo, who have recanted their statements. The suspects now allege they were tortured by law enforcement agents into linking suspended lawmaker Arnolfo Teves Jr. to the crime. While Remulla has ordered a probe into those allegations, he doubts the veracity of those claims.
Pero ito, tatanungin ko sa inyo. Bakit gusto nilang maiwan sa NBI kung tinocho sila sa NBI? I'll ask you that. Kung talagang tinocho sila sa NBI, ba't gusto nila maiwan sa NBI? Ba't ayaw nila malipat sa labas, palabas sa NBI? So is that consistent with somebody who was tortured in that place? No. It's an afterthought. It's a cover-up. It shows a conspiracy among the 10 of them that they were really part of the conspiracy when all of them suddenly recant.
Remulla insists the prosecution has enough evidence to go forward with the case despite the recantations. He even says they will use the supposed conspiracy to bolster their terrorism case against Teves and his group.
There's a conspiracy to cover up this crime, this terrorism that happened in our country, which we cannot countenance and we cannot stand for. The recantations are being spoken of as if they were gospel, that they would be so heavy in evidence. Parang gospel truth na. Pero ang lumalabas kasi dyan, if you look at your jurisprudence through the hundreds of years that recantations have been talked about by all the courts throughout the world, recantations are frowned upon by the courts. There's an issue of perjury, sabihin natin, for sure. Ayun na sigurado, not reasonable doubt.
A party made of Arnolfo Teves Jr. says the latest sanctions handed to the lawmaker are not punishment but a lifeline amid the grave implications of his political asylum bid. But Teves's lawyer insists his client knows the ramifications of his actions. RG Cruz tells us more.
A lifeline and not a punishment. That's how Rizal First District Representative Michael John Duavit explained his decision to be one of the 285 lawmakers who voted to adopt the recommendation of the House Committee on Ethics and Privileges to suspend Negros Oriental 3rd District Representative Arnolfo Teves Jr. for another 60 days and strip him of all of his committee memberships. The committee had cited that the lawmaker's continued unauthorized absences and his attempt to seek political asylum overseas show he failed to perform his duties as lawmaker, violated their code of conduct, and tarnished the integrity of the House, which constitute disorderly behavior and warrants disciplinary action.
The acts of Representative A. Teves Jr. cast serious doubts upon his ability to maintain the trust and perform his duties with integrity and uprightness expected for a public official. Ladies and gentlemen, the Committee on Ethics and Privileges hereby find that the unauthorized absences of Representative Arnie Teves Jr. aggravated by his act of seeking political asylum in Timor-Leste resulted in his failure to perform his duties as House member under Section 7, Rule 2, and violated the Code of Conduct as set forth in Section 142, Paragraph A and B, Rule 20 of the Rules of the House of Representatives. His action and all its consequences have compromised the integrity of the House of Representatives and constitute disorderly behavior warranting disciplinary action.
Duavit explained that the asylum bid alone has very grave implications, which his party mate can erase by simply coming back.
But worst of all, it also implies, may also imply that your very own country, your very own government, is the perpetrator of such persecution. Perhaps he was misadvised. Perhaps he did not see that by applying in Timor-Leste, that this was the accusation that he has brought on our state. I would like to make a plea to our colleague. Please heed our call. His insistence not show himself to us, these accusations he has made. The plea is, Kong Arnie, please think of this not as an attack on you, but please look at it as a lifeline.
Duavit also reminded the suspended lawmaker that when the house was bombed years ago, even lawmakers who were tagged in the incident came to work.
In 2007, right by the entrance of the south wing, we lost one of our members to a bomb blast. A few weeks later, the list of suspects were published. In fairness to all of those that were on the list of publics that were members of this house, they continued to come to work. They had faith in our institution. They had faith that we would not forget that we must presume innocence until final judgment. Please, Kong Arnie, your brother was a victim of that blast. I sat with him 4 years, his hands disfigured, covered in gauze.
But the legal counsel of the suspended lawmaker maintained his client knows what he is doing. Topacio also insisted his client gets competent advice and that they have explained the implications of their actions. Topacio maintains that Duavit may not know everything to be able to give a critique of his client's actions. Speaker Martin Romualdez, for his part, reminded his colleagues to always behave properly after they voted to sanction their colleague again.
Hindi natin papayagan na sirain ninuan ang integridad ng Kongreso. Walang personalan dito. Ginago lang natin ang sinumpan nating tungkulin at pangako sa sambayanan.
Pursuant to our code of conduct, a member shall act at all times in a manner that reflects creditably on the House and shall adhere to the spirit and the letter of the rules of the House and the Rules Committee.
The House designated the Speaker as the caretaker of Devis Jr.'s district while he is suspended. RG Cruz, ABS-CBN News.
Challenging the Maharlika Investment Fund Bill before the Supreme Court may be a futile effort for now. That's according to Albay Representative Ed Salagman. The lawmaker believes there's no constitutional issue in Congress's approval of the controversial measure.
Yung timeliness ay hindi constitutional issue yan.
Mm-hmm.
Yung wala tayong sapat na pundo o wala tayong sovereign wealth ay hindi constitutional issue yan. And sabi ng Korte Suprema, ang batas ay pinasa according to the wisdom of the Congress. And yung wisdom ay hindi pwedeng i-question. Sa ngayon, premature pa ang pag-file ng petition questioning its constitutionality sapagkat hindi pa ito batas, hindi pa ito napipirma ng ating Pangulo.
Former lawmaker Teddy Casino agrees, but the former Bayan Muna representative says the speedy passage of the bill remains questionable. Bayan Muna has a pending motion of reconsideration before the High Court over its dismissed petition challenging the swift approval of the bill at the lower house. Cassino adds they will also consider questioning the bill once President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. signs it into law. This, as he believes, safeguards placed in the measure are not enough.
Ang naging experience natin dyan bilang isang mambabatas, ang safeguards palagi nalulusutan eh.
Ala.
Bigyan kita ng example. Mm. Ang sabi nila, hindi magagamit ang pension funds. Mm. Hindi daw magagamit ang pondo ng GSIS, SSS, etc. True enough, nandun sa ilang provisions yun. Mm. Hindi pwede. Pero ang pinag-uusapan dun yung shares. Kumbaga, hindi pwede maging investor yung GSIS, SSS, mm-hmm. PhilHealth, Pag-ibig, etc. Pero, ang Maharlika Investment Corporation kasi is authorized to issue bonds. Ibig sabihin, pwede siyang mangutang by issuing bonds. At hindi pinagbabawal ang GSIS, SSS, etc.
To buy.
Na mabili ng bonds. Mm-hmm. So, bawal silang maging shareholders, maging investors, pero hindi sila bawal maging creditor. Mm. At ito yung pwede mangyari. Okay, hindi nga investor sila, pero pera pa rin ng pensioners ang gagamitin sa pagpapautang. Napakalaking posibilidad ng pagwaldas at pagnanakaw sa kabangyaman. Mm-hmm. Because remember, itong investment fund na ito, this is a super investment fund. 500 billion ang pinag-uusapan na.
Senate Minority Leader Coco Pimentel, meanwhile, calls on President Marcos to veto the Maharlika Investment Fund Bill. That way, he says, lawmakers can again scrutinize the bill. For Pimentel, in its current form, the Maharlika Fund Bill is rushed and its purpose remains vague.
Maganda siguro, i-veto na lang niya yan para ibalik ulit sa House tsaka sa Senate. At least binibigyan niya ng mas matagal na panahon na mapag-aralan niya ang Maharlika Investment Fund. Hindi dumaan ito sa normal na proseso kasi pinagsama sa isang araw yung second and third reading. Kasi nga may presidential certification. Pero ang sabi naman ng Constitution, pati yung presidente natin, guided siya dun sa sinabi ng Constitution na kailangan merong public calamity or emergency na kayang solusyonan itong panukalang batas na ito. Ano naman yun, di ba? Ano naman yung bakit ba ito minadali?
Pimentel's assessment is shared by research and advocacy group Action for Economic Reforms.
Ang pinakamalaking problema po sa Maharlika Fund, simulat sa pool at hindi pa nareresolba hanggang ngayon, hindi malinaw kung anong konsepto siya. Gagawin ba niya ay mag-i-invest noong pondo ng Republika ng Pilipinas para lumago o isa itong pondo para gamitin para magpinansya ng ating development dahil hindi malinaw kung ano talaga yung layunin niya, maglalagay ng pondo doon, magkakaproblema doon sa mismong wisdom ng pagtatayo ng Maharlika.
An economist from UP Los Baños also echoes Senator Pimentel's sentiment on the Maharlika Investment Fund. Professor Enrico Villanueva says there's still confusion over what kind of fund it is and its purpose.
There's still confusion up to now about what it should be. So the fund has been relabeled from a wealth fund in recognition of the lack of surplus of the Philippines to an investment fund. And yet, the way the declaration of policy is worded, it's still confused, acting like a social wealth fund. And even the functions of the Maharlika Investment Corporation, there are about five or six in the list. These are all pertaining to financial investing. And financial investing is the thing that you do with a surplus coming from a social wealth fund. So not much on development.
He adds there are also provisions that appear to go against the law, particularly in funding sources, compromising state-owned and controlled banks, and even the central bank's capital adequacy.
They're toying with the capitalization of the bank means that there's some sort of interference on the BSP thing. It's good that they've at least they're no longer talking about tinkering with the international reserves. And I guess that's the reason why Governor Medalla is kind of okay with it. This is a lesser evil, if you will. Uh-huh. But still, you cannot have, it's embarrassing and it's impractical and it's almost scary to have a central bank with only 50 billion capital.
The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or RCEP, takes effect in the Philippines. This paves the way for lower import taxes for goods from at least 14 other countries. Despite opposition from some groups, the Philippine government said the deal will lower prices for consumers and attract more foreign investments into the country. For the Philippine Exporters Confederation, the deal is a win for all, including the agriculture sector.
The worry of the agriculture sector has been addressed, mainly because some of the products that they're saying, like rice, coconut, even onions, are excluded. The SME now can do even export by consolidation because they will be now very competitive. Everybody should be winning here.
RCEP is the world's largest free trade agreement, encompassing 15 countries that account for 31% of global GDP. The U.S. debt limit bill now up for President Joe Biden's signature. That's after the Senate passed the bill with a vote of 63-36. This comes a day after the House of Representatives passed the bipartisan bill, which suspends the debt ceiling for 2 years. Lawmakers were racing to pass the legislation before June 5, the date when the Treasury Department said it would no longer be able to pay the nation's obligations. The measure was approved after months of haggling and resistance from hardline Republicans. Biden praised Congress for voting to protect America's hard-earned economic progress, calling it a big win for America. But the president said the work is far from finished, and he vows to sign the bill into law as soon as possible. Back here at home, the Philippine Bureau of Animal Industry has endorsed the use of a Vietnam-made vaccine to counter African swine fever. Our correspondent, Jervis Manahan, tells us more about AVAC. Jervis, go ahead.
Yes, the need for a vaccine for ASF is now awaiting approval at the Food and Drug Administration. The Bureau of Animal Industry has recommended a vaccine brand to counter our problem on the African swine fever. They recommended the Vietnamese-manufactured AVAC for approval of the Food and Drug Administration, or FDA. Once the Certificate of Product Registration is issued, they will be importing the vaccine from Vietnam. It is a single-shot vaccine that will only be for healthy pigs aged 4 to 10 weeks old. This will not be mandatory, but hog raisers will be encouraged to vaccinate their swine population once the vaccine is commercially available. The BAE has not given us a fixed price yet, but the Department of Agriculture said they will ensure this will be affordable, especially for backyard raisers. An initial quota of 600,000 shots will be ordered once approved. This will be beneficial for the livestock industry as ASF continues to be a persistent problem in the country. The Bureau of Animal Industry says it's important to get approval as many swine stakeholders have already been waiting for it. And there is also a high demand for the vaccine globally. Right now, there are active ASF cases in 15 provinces in the Philippines, mostly at the Visayas region. Denise.
Thanks, Jervis. President Marcos eyes technological solutions to curb corruption as he attends the National ICT Kickoff Ceremony. Our correspondent, Pia Gutierrez, has been monitoring that event, and she now joins us live with more details. Pia?
President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. on Friday noted the need for government to adopt new technologies to promote ease in government transactions, as well as ensure that the country remains competitive in the global market. The president made a statement as he led the launch of the Philippines' new GovPH Super App, a mobile application that will serve as a one-stop-shop platform for national and local government services. Through the app, a user can apply for clearances, certifications, and permits, file complaints or reports directly to government agencies, and even register their SIM cards. The app also allows the users to securely store their government-issued identification cards, such as their national ID and driver's licenses. The app is now available for download at the Google Play Store and App Store. Marcos Jr. says the Philippines has fallen behind in e-governance, and the government simply needs to catch up. This, as he noted, that many of the problems encountered by Filipinos are on the ease of doing business with government. He noted a survey that only 5% of an ordinary Filipino's online transactions concern the government. He says that while Filipinos now do most of their shopping or banking activities online, they still need to physically go to government offices and endure long lines to be able to transact with government. He also noted that ongoing digitalization efforts will significantly lessen corruption.
There is another part of this that is extremely important that we sometimes do not talk about, and that is the lessening of corruption. Because when you do not have to talk to a person at all, and for the entire process, there's no discretion that's being exercised at any point. It's either yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, one, two, is binary. That way, it simplifies it, so the process, especially for the citizen. And there is no discretion being exercised by anyone. Eh, kung di mo ako lagyan, hindi ko ipapaano ito, hindi ko pa iipitin ko ito. Yung mga ganun.
Meanwhile, the president has certified as urgent the proposed Internet Transactions Bill. This is a measure which aims to promote and maintain robust e-commerce and build trust between online merchants and consumers through secure and reliable platforms. In his letter to Senate President Juan Miguel Zupiri, the president cited the urgent need of the government to regulate electronic commerce transactions to strengthen consumer protection against fraud and other illicit activities and promote fair competition and security of business. The bill is currently pending second reading in the Senate. The House of Representatives had already approved its version back in December 2022. Denise?
Thanks, Pia. Up next, former and current officials of the Light Rail Transit Authority face criminal charges over alleged anomalous maintenance contracts. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. You're back on Dateline Philippines. As we reported earlier, RCEP has taken effect in the Philippines. The country's Trade Department gives its assurance the implementation of the regional agreement won't hurt local industries. Let's get more details from our correspondent, Jackie Pascual. Jackie.
Hi, good afternoon, Denise. You're right. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement takes into full effect starting today, June 2. Trade Secretary Alfredo Pascual and other officials of the Department of Trade and Industry just organized or just held a media briefing to talk about the benefits of RCEP and what it will do to the Philippine economy. Secretary Pascual said that the RCEP will form a crucial part of the Marcos administration's goal of boosting economic recovery and expansion. And of course, he also answered criticisms that the agricultural sector will be negatively affected. Secretary Pascual said that it's not the case. And in fact, the agricultural or the agriculture industry will be one of the most, will benefit positively in the RCEP. So the gains and benefits of RCEP, according to DTI, is that it can have zero or lower import tariff applied to Philippine exports. But more than just trade relations, the DTI officials mentioned that this will also have more stable market access for services by binding existing regulations. There will also be a preferential treatment for skilled Filipino professionals and business persons, improvement in financial service, boost regulatory cooperation on telecommunications and ICT services, and many more. So it's more than just improving the trade relations or the trade of the Philippines, but of course also benefiting services sector and as well as more investments in the Philippines. Secretary Pascual mentioned that RCEP is the world's largest free trade deal as it accounts for 29% of world's trade, 29% of world's GDP, 33% of global inward foreign direct investments, and can benefit around 2.3 billion people here in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, as well as the other free trade agreement countries such as Japan, China, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. And Denise, just to give a few examples of the benefits of RCEP according to the DTI, for example, the garments industry in the Philippines will have improved because our garments trade with Korea currently or before RCEP was 5% tariff, but now it will possibly go down to zero. Same with fish canning, alcoholic beverages, coconut juice, chocolate, fruit cocktail and fruit juices, coffee, preserved pineapples, and many more. And they also insisted that other sensitive products will not be affected by RCEP, such as the agricultural products mentioned earlier, rice, sugar, and other commodities. So, Denise, they will still conduct more meetings, and they have also set a monetary policy so that there won't be a surge of import products here in the Philippines. And that's the latest. Denise, back to you.
Jackie Pascual with that report. Thanks, Jackie. Moving on to more news, a journalists group calling on media practitioners to monitor closely the killing of radio broadcaster Crescenciano Bundukin. This as the National Union of Journalists of the Philippines says his death proves there are still threats to the lives of journalists. The NUJP also reiterated its call to the government to put an end to attacks on media practitioners.
Ituloy pa rin. Kumbaga, sinabi naman na ng pamahalaan na they respect yung role of media in society, you know, in nation building. So, tuloy natin to. At isa sa pinakamalaking paraan para ipakita na pinangangalagaan nga ang mga mamahayag ay yung to hold these people to account, yung mga umatake sa atin, yung mga nangaharas sa atin. Or in this case, yung mga outright pinapatay yung mga kasama natin.
Bundukin, a journalist from Oriental Mindoro who had been outspoken about the oil spill in the province, was shot dead early Wednesday by two motorcycle-riding gunmen. One of the assailants was killed after being hit by a car driven by Bundukin's son, while the other managed to escape. A manhunt is currently underway to locate the suspect.
Mayroon po tayong mga nakuha na mga picture doon sa loob ng U-box ng ginamit na motor. At yun nga po, ayun ang sinusugan natin at pinaloob natin kung saan siya nakatira sa lahat ng pinupuntahan niya at pinagtanong-tanong din natin. Eh, wala na doon sa lugar. Hindi na natin makita. Talagang nagtatago eh.
The Philippine National Railways suspending services from Alabang in Muntinlupa City up to Calamba, Laguna to give way to the construction of another railway project. Our correspondent, Andrea Teguines, filed this report.
The Philippine National Railways is temporarily suspending its trips from its Alabang to Calamba stations and vice versa starting next month, July 2, to give way to the construction of the 873 billion peso north-south commuter railway system. That announcement was made by Transportation Undersecretary for Rails, Cesar Chavez, early this morning as he rode with commuters traveling through that route. An estimate of 800 passengers go through that route daily. That's why during the ride, Undersecretary Chavez assured them that the DOTR and the LTFRB are already preparing special permits for alternative modes of transportation such as jeepneys and buses for them to ride in the meantime. Despite the hassle, one of the commuters I talked to, she said that she's glad that a new train system will be built so that she can get to where she needs to go faster and in a more comfortable manner. But she's worried that ticket prices will become more expensive when that happens. We also got to talk to some informal settlers settlers living near the train tracks in Calamba. And they're also worried about what's in store for them when the government makes them leave. The DOTR plans to finish relocating these families, which are about 7,000, from Calamba to Alabang before the year ends.
Sana maganda yung lilipatan. Kasi ang pera madaling mawala, di ba? Sana maawa naman sila, di ba? Kasi yan lang namin ang hanap buhay namin, tsaka bahay namin mawawala. Ganun talaga kasakit. Sana naman ano maawa sila. Dagdag sana, kahit may puhunan, ano, di ba? Yan lang, ganun lang.
May nakita na ba kayong pwedeng anong gagawin ni Lord?
Wala, wala pa. Kaya makikipagsapalaran pa lang.
Bibigyan sila ng tinatawag na interim rental subsidy. Yung interim rental subsidy, yung mga ISF po dito, yung Calamba hanggang Alabang ay magkakaroon, depende ho, magkakaroon po ng 3,000, 5,000, 7,000, depende ho sa laki at kung saan sila i-relocate. Ang usapan dito ay in-city. So identified na natin kung saan sila, na-inspect na ng Asian Development Bank yung mga relocation sites. Principally, ang may obligasyon para sa livelihood nila ay ang local government unit. Ang obligasyon ng gobyerno, bahay, lupa.
This coming October, the DOTR and the PNR will also be temporarily stopping the operations of its stations from Alabang to Manila. Meanwhile, they plan to start the construction of the North-South Commuter Railway by June 30th. It will run from Clark, Pampanga to Calamba in Laguna, and it is expected to be fully operational by 2028 or after 5 years. And by that time, they expect travel time from Clark to Calamba to go down by 2 hours from the current travel time of 4 hours.
Former and current officials of the Light Rail Transit Authority are facing criminal and administrative charges over alleged anomalous maintenance contracts on the LRT Line 2 system. Included in the complaint filed by lawyer Jerry Francisco are current Administrator Hernando Cabrera and former Administrator Jeremy Regino, as well as officials of a South Korean firm. Francisco alleges the respondents conspired to defraud the government by using what he described as imaginary scenarios to conduct upgrade works. This, he says, led to the government losing about 274 million pesos in 301 days. One of the accused, Regino, denied the allegation, insisting he had no participation in the contract. Moving now to sports, the Denver Nuggets hold off a fourth quarter run by the Miami Heat to take game one of the NBA Finals. Our North America correspondent Steve Angeles now joins us live from the Ball Arena to tell us more about today's on-court action. Steve?
Hi, Denise. High energy in the Mile High City as the Denver Nuggets have won the franchise's first ever NBA Finals game. The Nuggets dominated from the beginning of the game, outscoring a cold-shooting Miami Heat. The final score, 104-93. Two-time MVP Nikola Jokic became the first player since Jason Kidd in 2002 to record a triple-double in their NBA Finals debut. Denver led by as much as 24 points in the second half. However, despite shooting 40.6% from the field, Miami managed to cut the lead down to 9 points late in the game. Game two of the best-of-seven series takes place on Sunday in Denver.
School you know, they're in a pretty good rhythm, especially in that first half. Our disposition, the multiple efforts, the resolve in the second half was much better. But you get to this level, it has to be complete games of that kind of disposition. And even if you have it, you're not always going to win all the possessions that you want, but that's what you expect. You don't expect it to be easy when you get to this final round. This is a great challenge. It's going to require more. We'll get to work and see what we can do better, what we can do harder, what we can do with more effort, what we can do with more focus.
In the history of the NBA playoffs, 75% of Game 1 winners have gone on to win the series. However, if we know something about this certain Heat team, they like to defy trends and odds. Denise?
Thanks, Steve. Now, still ahead, the worst of Sri Lanka's economic crisis now over. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. You're back on Dateline Philippines. The Philippine Disaster Agency says Typhoon Betty's damage to infrastructure and agriculture was very minimal. But it says around 77,000 individuals were affected by the storm.
We will continue to enhance our preparation by making sure that we have enough stockpile of food and non-food items that will be placed in our strategic warehouses throughout the country. So we will continue to do that. And at the same time, we will continue to enhance the capacities of our response unit down to the local government unit.
Let's get the latest on the weather from ABS-CBN resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas. Ariel?
Hi, good afternoon, Denise. Tropical Cyclone Betty departed the Philippine area of responsibility yesterday afternoon. It has also moved past Ryukyu Islands of southern Japan and weakened into a tropical storm. Southwest monsoon or habagat prevails over most of the country, bringing monsoon rains and gusty winds over Bataan, Cavite, Batangas, Occidental Mindoro, Palawan, and some parts of Panay and Negros. Intense thunderstorms are also expected later over Cordillera, Cagayan Valley, Central Luzon, Bicol, and the rest of Visayas. Flooding and landslides are possible in these areas. Small boats are still not allowed to sail over the seaboards of Ilocos North and Cagayan Valley due to big waves, but the gale warning in these areas may be lifted in the coming days as the seas get calmer. This weekend, habagat will weaken and will only affect Mimaropa and Western Visayas, but intense thunderstorms will still be affecting in the afternoon or evening over most of the country. Metro Manila will also have sunny weather until noontime, and cloudiness and thunderstorm or showers may be experienced in the afternoon or evening this Friday and weekend. Meanwhile, two low-pressure areas may form on both sides of the country this weekend. The LPA over the West Philippine Sea, however, will not affect the country but will move away and head to Vietnam. The LPA to the east of Visayas outside of the country, meanwhile, has low chance of hitting land, but it remains to be seen if it will develop into a tropical cyclone or when it will enter the PAR. So please continue monitoring for updates. And for the month of June, PAGASA forecasts near normal rainfall over most of the country. Below normal rainfall will be expected in Cagayan, and above normal rains are forecast in parts of Central Luzon, Calabarzon, Bicol, Eastern Visayas, and Caraga. One to two tropical cyclones may form within or enter the PAR this month. Past June storms have either moved close to Batanes before recurving towards southern Japan or made landfall over Bicol region or eastern Visayas and crossed the country. The next names on the storm list for 2023 are Chedeng and Toto. That's the latest on the weather. Happy weekend, and back to you, Denise.
Thanks, Ariel. World news, U.S. President Joe Biden is confident Sweden will soon be part of NATO. That's despite Turkey and Hungary's continued opposition to the Northern European country's accession to the alliance. Speaking at the Air Force Academy graduation ceremony, Biden also praised NATO's unity amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine. His remarks come days after Secretary of State Antony Blinken urged Turkey to approve Sweden's bid to become a NATO member.
NATO is more energized and more united than it's been in decades. It's now even stronger with the accession of our newest ally, Finland, and soon Sweden, and the alliance as soon as possible.
Meanwhile, in a headline-grabbing moment, the 80-year-old American president tripped on a sandbag and fell after handing out the last diploma at the ceremony. The White House assured the public the president is fine, with Biden himself making light of the gaffe afterwards. Kyiv launching a probe into the deaths of three people outside a bomb shelter. The 9-year-old girl, her mother, and another woman died when rocket debris fell near the shelter they had been trying to enter. Kyiv Mayor Vitaly Klitschko said the entrance to the shelter was reportedly blocked. According to local residents, the victims knocked loudly enough, but no one opened the door for them. President Volodymyr Zelensky has expressed frustration at the miscue and warns local officials unable to provide protection could be prosecuted. European leaders vow to remain united in the face of Russia's aggression. At least 45 leaders gathered for a strategy summit in the vulnerable country of Moldova, with the event's venue located just 12 miles from the border with war-torn Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky also joined the summit, seeking to keep up pressure for concrete support ahead of his country's expected counteroffensive against Russia. He reiterated calls for Western fighter jets to protect Ukrainian skies from yet another Russian attack. Inflation in the Eurozone falls to its lowest pace since Russia invaded Ukraine. The rise in consumer prices in Europe eased to 6.1% in May from 7% in April. That's the lowest rate since February 2022, and it was mainly driven by slower increases in food prices, while energy prices actually fell. This gives the European Central Bank a reason to pause interest rate hikes soon. The ECB has increased interest rates by 375 basis points in less than a year. Sri Lanka is on a path to recovery. That's according to President Ranil Wickremesinghe. He said inflation, which reached 70%, has gone down to 25.2%. And in a sign of confidence that the worst is over, the central bank surprised markets by cutting interest rates for the first time in 3 years. The South Asian nation was plunged into crisis last year as its foreign exchange reserves ran out, food and energy prices spiraled, and protests forced the ouster of the country's then president. Good news for U.S. visa applicants. The waiting time for visa appointments has significantly improved, with the U.S. Embassy on track to process over 300,000 applications this year. More from Zen Hernandez.
Over 1,000 visa applicants go to the U.S. Embassy in Manila daily, which is why it was quite challenging for its consular section to process applications during the COVID-19 pandemic. The number of staff was affected, causing the number of visas issued to drop to 190,000 from a high of 290,000 in 2019. Consequently, there was a backlog and a visa appointment wait time of almost 2 years. Joanne and her family experienced this firsthand, but luckily, the U.S. Embassy opened earlier slots and their wait time was reduced from over 1 year to 9 months. Now, they have their visa.
Since pandemic, diba, alam naman natin lahat na hindi tayo nakapag-travel. For the family, ba, ma-enjoy especially ng mga kids na makapunta sa ibang lugar.
As the pandemic challenges eased, visa processing at the U.S. Embassy improved tremendously. Wait times are currently 4 to 5 months and expected to improve further to 2 to 3 months. And this year, the U.S. Embassy consular section is on track to processing up to 325,000 visas.
We have worked very hard to improve our efficiency, to make the process as smooth and easy as possible, and to make it as painless as possible, to allow for as much capacity as we can handle for the Philippine public to apply for visas to travel to the United States.
There were also significant policy changes, including expanding the allowable period for visa renewal from 1 year to 4 years after expiration. Minors who were also previous visa holders and over 14 years of age may renew without an interview by getting an appointment for biometrics. Interviews are also waived for those over 79 years old. For visa applicants, however, the U.S. Embassy has this very simple advice.
Number one, always tell the truth. We can often tell really quickly when people are not being truthful.
Aside from non-immigrant visas, there's also an increase in work visas being issued by the U.S. Embassy. From October 2021 to September 2022, over 77,000 visas were processed for Filipino ship and airline crew members. The U.S. Embassy consular section also noted increasing visa applications for healthcare professionals hired by American employers. Zen Hernandez, ABS-CBN News.
Meta reveals the company's next-generation mixed reality headset as the company braces for Apple's entry into a market that Meta has dominated so far. The Quest 3 is 40% thinner than the company's previous offering and features color mixed reality, which combines AR and VR elements. It will be powered by a new Qualcomm chipset with twice the graphics performance as the Quest 2. The device will launch in the autumn with prices starting at $499. On Monday, Apple is expected to announce its rumored Reality Pro headset at WWDC, which would be its first new major product line in nearly a decade. And before we go, fictional monster the Boogeyman takes on a new form in a new film. Yong Chavez talks to the lead star, Sophie Thatcher, about how the upcoming adaptation will tackle themes of grief.
The short story that made readers have nightmares when the light is off, where the monsters can be lurking in closets, is now on the big screen in The Boogeyman. Horror master Stephen King wrote the original story that became the basis for the horror thriller film. The story revolves around Sadie, a teenager whose family is devastated by grief after the loss of her mother. The Boogeyman feeds on grief and suffering. Rising Hollywood star Sophie Thatcher plays Sadie. The actress has also gained notice for her acclaimed TV series Yellow Jackets.
This is a character who has such tremendous grief after losing her mother. What was it like inhabiting this character?
It was definitely heavy, and she's in such a distinct stage of grief that I think is very different from other stages because she's so keen on becoming closer with her mom, even though she can't. She's just really trying to get to know her mom better and feel like she's a friend to her, so she's so hyper fixated on that she's disconnected from everything else. So I think just like focusing on that and focusing on the importance of her mom's belongings and trying to like replicate that feeling of intimacy.
The actress had to deliver not only on the emotional scenes but also on the rigorous demands of the film's action scenes.
You also had a lot of physical scenes, right? I mean, what was that like filming that?
I keep getting cast in projects where I do a lot of stunts, and I have never been like an outdoorsy and I've never been like an athletic person at all. But it's something that you just have to learn, and you have to learn to be very in tune with your body as an actor, or else it just doesn't translate. So I think projects like this have really helped me because you just have to be like very in tune with your breath work and in tune with your body. It's very physically draining, and I think halfway through I was like, okay, I can't go days without wearing knee pads.
The Boogeyman also stars Chris Messina and Vivian Lara Blair. Yong Chavez, ABS-CBN News, here in Hollywood.
And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Denise Nsai, and if you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on the YouTube channel of ABS-CBN News and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone, as you keep it here on the news channel.